Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
In this podcast, we focus on the results of the parliamentary elections. I'm Dale Bechtel. We hear from Swiss politicians, voters, and analysts.
Those who understand the country and like it will be, I think, probably a bit saddened to see the way it's gone.
The election on October 21st was marked by the large gains made by the right-wing People's Party and the surprising drop in popularity of the centre-left Social Democrats. The People's Party captured an additional 7 seats for a leading 29% of the vote, while the second-largest party, the Social Democrats, lost 9 seats, dropping to 19%. The People's Party campaigned on immigration issues, crime, and an alleged plot by its rivals to oust its outspoken cabinet minister, Christoph Blocher. Swiss television asked People's Party President Uli Maurer if it was justified in running such a dirty campaign.
I hope that we can continue in this vein, because this was the most exciting election ever, attracting more interest from the public than ever before. Voter turnout was the highest in 32 years, and that's what democracy needs. Lively debates, open discussions, and that's what this election had.
The vote was followed closely by Clive Church, an emeritus professor at Britain's Kent University and expert on Swiss affairs. He said the People's Party could be credited with the high turnout, but the fact that it dominated the headlines could damage Switzerland's reputation.
I think it probably has. If you look at the turnout, that's gone up nearly 3%, which is much more than it's gone up in previous elections. And one rather suspects that the campaign was the reason why it went up. On the other hand, of course, I have a suspicion that the campaign has done Switzerland in general no service in terms of its image abroad, because it's becoming increasingly seen by people who know little about the country as being racist, which is a considerable exaggeration.
But the People's Party was not the only winner. The ground lost by the Social Democrats was largely made up by its key ally, the Greens, who captured an additional 7 seats. This ensures a balance between left and right in the biggest parliamentary chamber, the House of Representatives. And for the first time, the Greens won a seat in the Senate. Their gains had President Ruth Genner telling Swiss television that the Greens now deserved a post in the 7-member cabinet.
We Greens have become much stronger. We are for the first time represented in the Senate, and therefore we have met certain conditions to have a say within the cabinet and carry part of the responsibility that goes with it. The Greens are of the opinion that we need a minister who can address future issues as a member of the government. But that means there needs to be a basic consensus, something that doesn't exist at present.
But Genner ruled out a cohabitation with the People's Party. Clive Church also believed Switzerland's consensus form of government is strained.
Blocher is hardly going to be abashed by his performance, and I can imagine that he's going to go on using his position for his own and his party's interest. So I think that's going to be very difficult for the other members to cope with. I think outside, the Swiss People's Party is changing the balance. It's not a majority party, and it seems very unlikely to become one. But nonetheless, it is now far and away the biggest. It's, 3-2 with the socialists. And I think that's going to make alliances and so forth much more difficult.
Clive Church from Kent University. But how did Swiss voters judge the election results? We took the pulse of the man and woman on the street. We first spoke to people in the rural village of Unterdiberg in central Switzerland, where nearly 8 out of 10 voters cast ballots for the People's Party.
Foreigners who aren't here to work have no right to be here. I'm in favour of foreigners who live and work here and are well integrated. They're good.
Foreigners are not a big problem in this village, but it's a real concern in places near here. That's why I voted the way I did.
They succeeded because of the immigration issue. We are very sensitive to that. And because of Christoph Blocher, who is not afraid to speak his mind.
The people we spoke to in the city of Zurich, where the centre-left Social Democrats emerged as the largest party, agreed that the People's Party was able to control public opinion with its xenophobic campaign.
I think the SVP is actually quite in the offensive with their foreigners' politics, and I think that's why the results went like that, because criminality, crime is a big subject, but a lot of people that don't know the subject do actually just vote against it.
But this Scottish immigrant, who's lived in Switzerland for 50 years, said the left-right polarization would not make much difference to the political landscape.
I don't think here it makes terribly much difference because there are so many parties which are nearly equally strong.
The new parliament will sit for the first time in December, when it will also be called on to confirm the current 7 cabinet ministers in their posts or elect new members. In business news this week, Switzerland's pharmaceutical giants Novartis and Roche were in the spotlight for troubles in the United States. Roche was blocked from launching a new anemia drug after a Boston jury found it infringed patents belonging to rival Amgen. Novartis announced record profits in the first 9 months of the year, but also said it would lay off more than 1,200 workers due to a series of setbacks in the U.S., including the delay of product launches or denial of approval for others. Food giant Nestlé, on the other hand, announced sales of 79 billion francs in the first 9 months, on target to break the 100 billion franc barrier for the first time. Robert Brooks spoke to Nestlé CEO and chairman of the board, Peter Brabeck, and started by asking him how pleased he was with these sales figures, in light of the fact he will step down as CEO next year.
If I look now forwards to April next year, when I will step down as CEO, I think what I'm more proud about is that for 12 consecutive years, and think about what all has happened during these 12 years, we have delivered our Nestlé model of organic growth close to 6%, and every single year we have been able to improve the EBITDA margin. Material prices high or not, wars in the Middle East, oil crisis up and down, Nestlé has performed 12 consecutive years, every single year, grow top line and improve EBITDA margin. I think, yeah, I'm proud about that.
Do you always eat and drink Nestlé products, or do you like to see what the competition is up to?
No, I have always had this as a tradition to compare what the competition is doing. I mean, as a matter of fact, when I was running our culinary business here, every Monday we would, from 10 o'clock onwards, the whole department cook, and we would be cooking our products, we would be cooking competitive products, and then we would have together lunch and see what is the difference, what we can learn, how can we improve. And out of this experience came really the concept of the 60-40, which means that we want our products being benchmarked against the best competitor and still win a 60-40 consumer preference.
People know you as the man at the helm of Nestlé, but they probably don't know the Peter Brabeck outside the world of Nestlé. What do you do, for example, in your spare time? How do you switch off from all this?
Well, I am a man of the mountains, and depending on the time they have, you will always see me in different way on the mountains. If I have enough time, you will see walking and climbing in the mountains. If I have shorter times, you will see me on a bicycle on the mountains. If I have less shorter times, you will see me on a motorbike on the mountains. And if I am really short and I want to go very high, then you will see me on an airplane landing on the mountains. So it's always the mountains.
Nestlé CEO Peter Brabeck talking to Robert Brooks. We end this week's podcast with a few of the stories which didn't make the headlines. Real men like a biscuit with a bite. The Swiss company Vanli is launching a new product called Guara for men only. The manufacturer says the secret to the biscuit is the dark chocolate, which is preferred by men, and portion of guarana. A seed from the guarana fruit contains about 3 times as much caffeine as a coffee bean. Another manly highlight was a decision by the Burns City Council. The local government rejected a proposal for pictograms on traffic signs and lights at pedestrian crossings to include female as well as male figures. But Switzerland's leading retailer, Migros, stood up for gender equality by running an unusual series of advertisements. 3 men and 4 women candidates for parliament agreed to take their clothes off and pose in Migros underwear. While the advertisements added some sex appeal to the election campaign, the 7 were forced to grin and bear the results. Not one was voted into parliament. More details on some of the stories you've just heard can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our audio service. Thanks for listening to the Swiss Info podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel.